Mick, thanks for your time.
No worries, Rowie.
Hello, Mick.
Well, let's talk social media. Disappointing day today for one young footballer. Killed his career over a social media gaffe. Can you explain all that for us?
Yeah, I won't go into the total details, but you're right. I'm at a loss, and we all know that things change very quickly in with electronics, and now we've got these things that are instant, and sometimes you push the button, and I dare say some people are very regretful when they've pushed some button that goes out there and it never comes back. So in this case, we've lost another player. This, you know, we're down to 39 players now. Nick Dygan won't play for the year. Scotland are now Bootsma. So, you know, it has an impact on the club. It has an impact on the kid. It has an impact on his family. I've been so anti ever seeing a player go during the course of the year, but it has to be extreme circumstances. And in this case, we think it's extreme enough that it certainly hasn't helped our football club. It hasn't helped football in general. And it's been a long list of things with Josh, unfortunately. We won't desert him. We don't want the Players Association to desert him. We want to make sure that he has some capacity to have some form of rehabilitation and some sort of prospects in the future. But I've been, and I think I mentioned to you guys, I've been the patron of the YMCA Bridge Project, which is a second chance for people who come out of jails and so forth. Not saying Josh is in jail, but, you know, I'm all for second chances. But Josh has had a lot, and I just hope that now he gets a second chance at another club down the track when he's got his life sorted out.
Mick, is social media the new alcohol? Is that the new problem for the modern footballer?
Well, I guess when players come into the room early January and the AFL or Players Association or the club itself lecture players on drug, the racial vilification rules, the new rules, the alcohol, this is one that's getting a bit of airplay now where people have been told, listen, you've got obligations, just don't be silly about things. So I don't know whether it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's taken over from, you know, the drugs or other such things, but it's certainly a dangerous medium to, if you haven't got control. And if you want to start testing people's will out, I think it's quite ridiculous. And you've just got to have more control of what you're doing. And when you have got control of what you're doing, you've got to stop and think about what you're doing. So, unfortunately, we find ourselves in these positions.
If a star player had the same club breaches as Josh, would you have sacked him?
Oh, this is not a matter of who it is.
Okay.
In fact, that you know, with all due respect, Rowie, that's not a question that I would see you asking me. I would, you know, that is just, it's never an issue of who it is. It's what the player has been producing, regardless of first or second football. It's what the player has been involved in the last, since I've been at the football club. I suggest that we have put more time into Josh than probably any player, and we are continually let down. That wouldn't be the same. It would be the same whether it be the highest profile player to the youngest player to the first round. But Josh, remember, is a first round pick player. So it's not as if we say, oh, look, he's a late rookie, so let's dismiss it. This is a very important player to our football club. So, you know, it's not a trivial matter that we've taken into consideration, thought, oh, look, he's not getting a game, so that's an easy choice. It is a desperately difficult choice to make about anyone, and in particular a young player who has got so much to offer him.
Yeah, and I knew that would be your response, Mick, and obviously we've only got from the Carlton press conference what Josh was supposed to have breached, and if you read that and read between the lines, it wasn't just this social media gaffe, if you like. There were other incidences that led up to it, and the only thing we had in there, they've lost the player's trust. Josh has lost the player's trust, so...
I think it's suffice to say that look, I've just watched two news items and two different stations, and they've both had a different player, and one's gone, I believe, far too far, but nonetheless has said what they thought it was. And when you analyse all the material in front of you, you'll see that it's best that the club keep every bit of information you possibly can in house.
Yeah.
But inevitably things are going to get out. It's not a matter of just turning up late for training. It's not a matter of just losing the trust of players. It's not a matter of just ignoring advice. This is a long list of things that which would astound in any one of them would be we would be quite within our right to fine the player quite severely. And I think at the end of the day, that sort of stuff, it's like water off a duck's back. You've got to take all the things into consideration, and it becomes a fairly big process of making sure that we get it right. It's the easiest thing to do is not to do anything. The hardest thing to do is do what we've done. We've taken the hardest course of action, and it has not been easy by certainly Andrew McKay, who's had to front the media, and coaches and players. So and it has been tough, and I reckon it'll be a lot tougher on him and his young family. So, I hope that everything comes out okay at the end of this.
Oh, and I know you'll wrap your arms around him. There's no question about that. And the RFLPA, they won't cut him free. But just on the broader picture with social media, I've got three teenagers, and I'm worried endless about Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. They're all on it. We've got players here that are a bit loosey-goosey with it. Mick, you've probably got some in your flock that are a little bit loosey-goosey with the messages about other clubs or players. And I know it's instant, and the club loves it. I think your club's got 200,000 Facebook social media contacts, which is brilliant. Where do you sit with it? Can you ban it as a coach? Say, hey, listen, Bootsy's got himself in trouble. No Instagrams, no tweets.
Now, look, it's one of those things that I haven't grown up with it, and I'm in my gap, I'll call it my gap year, between Collingwood and Carlton. I had the Twitter going, and my numbers were quite extraordinary, given I didn't know anything about it, because my daughter kept on saying to me that they are very big numbers. But I got rid of it. When it becomes stupid, I just got rid of it. And it's too easy to say to the young kids today, but We've had instances in the country, in countries where Iran and Turkey, I think, were two countries that try to stop certain things happening. It is a violation, really, to stop that sort of stuff is a violation of a person's rights. But when the person then breaks those rights, they will things come very heavily down on them. I certainly wouldn't be in a position where I would say, listen, you. This is modern technology. Boys, you've got to stop it. Go back to the dark age. They call it the dark ages. No, you don't do that. But you've got to be responsible and very much understand that it is your commitment to what you say is what you believe. And if you're going to come out like that, then it's out there for everyone to see. Now, I don't know this instant stuff, 5 seconds on, 5 minutes, reminds me of Mission Impossible, but somewhere along the line, these things stick. And the consequences are pretty grave, let's face it.
Mick, challenging week for a coach, or is these the sort of weeks that bring the best out of you and are good weeks for coaches? I'd be interested to know how, after 30-odd years, you handle weeks like this.
Well, look, on the back of a loss as well, we had the loss. The boys, the reserve boys, had a bye. We've had this happen now. I feel that what ends up happening out of these things, it galvanises you or it can divide you. I have no issues at all to say that this will galvanise the football club. We're also in it's a very precarious position when you analyse the whole club. You know, we've got a week coming up, our 150th year next round. That's when it's going to fall on that date for our celebrations. Our president leaves our football club, as does our CEO. These are things that can really test football clubs. I have no doubt in the football department it is strong. It is vibrant. It is very trustworthy. It acknowledges one another. I wouldn't say it's a democratic society, because it should never be like that in those sort of things. But it can be. You can voice your opinion. And in our section, and I say sections within the football club, we're all on the one floor. It's a highly united football club. So the things that are coming in front of us are challenging, and the things that have taken place have been very challenging. So, but. You only get stronger, or you get weaker, depending on your attitude. Our attitude is that we've got to get stronger from all this, and we can't afford to buckle. We can't afford to show any division. And I'm pretty confident our club's capable, with great people, to get out of this in a better shape.
Mick, I'd be interested to know, how do you handle, as a coach then, the departure of a couple of the greats in Greg Swanner and Kernaghan? I mean, especially with Stephen, who's been there for such a long time and is such an icon. Mm. How does that impact on your coaching? Be interested to know how you handle that one.
Well, it's a bit rare that these things take place during the course of a year. I've got to say that, you know, obviously we've come and gone past many CEOs and presidents that have left for various reasons, or their term's up or whatever the case is. In this case, the term is up, and it was probably up at the beginning of the end of last year, but the board decided, and I'm so grateful for Stephen, that he was given the opportunity to be head of the 150th year celebrations, albeit the fact that we're struggling on the field. But he's such a wonderful person. I'm sure the club won't let him go without some form of recognition, that not only as a president, but, you know, what he did as a magnificent player. So I'm not privy to our best. I think it's 12 players they're going to. They're already part of the Hall of Fame, but 12 players are going to be, I don't know if it's immortalised or what the case, what the word is, but there's a fantastic photograph or painting of the best 12. I'd be very, very surprised if Stephen's not one of those. So you can see how he is so highly thought of. How we handle it? Well, Mark comes on board, and as far as I'm concerned, the board, you're a servant to the board. You respect the board and you work with the board. And as much as Stephen's, I've known of him, but I've only known him for 18 months, and I've got to say that he's one of the best gentlemen that I've ever come across. But that won't diminish my respect for him. It just means that we've got a new master.
Bone, you were best man at his wedding, weren't you?
Yeah.
You're the second best man.
What goes on tour stays on tour, you know that, Stephen.
Hey, Mick, we had Andrew Dimitriou on at 4:30. It was a great little chat. Have you got a final word for Andrew Dimitriou, this being his last couple of days?
Well, you know, Andrew was, how do I say, I've been around when I see Andrew play. I've seen him become involved with the Players Association and end up being the CEO of the football at the AFL football. There's many things that have happened in his care. Some very good. Some have been testing. I think it's a testing job at the very best. I think he can hold his head high, that he's come out of it and the game has progressed. There's a lot of things I still think can be done, and I guess that what he's done is put a foot into those areas, and now he's left it for others to either decide where we go. And I'm talking, there's a multitude of things, of course. And, you know, we talk about salary caps, we talk about Good Friday football, and nighttime grand finals. There's a whole host of things. So, but he's been a bloke that I have found it very easy to ring and talk to. I was very grateful for the fact that they made me Australian coach for the Irish thing. And I had such a wonderful time over in Ireland and in Australia with him and his family. So I certainly wish him the best. And I'm sure he'll go on to bigger and bigger or better things, but he'll certainly go on to things that'll suit him. And he's left an indelible mark on football.
Did he leave the game in a better state than when he got here? I think most would say,
I think what's happened is it's a general progression going forward, and he's been part of that forward motion. And I think it's testament that, you know, where the game is, that there's always going to be hiccups. There's going to be some darker moments and lighter moments of not his doing. You just happen to be, in his case, he happened to be CEO at a couple of the darker moments of football. Was it his doing? Absolutely not. How he handled it? I thought he handled some of those things absolutely brilliantly.
He said the hardest thing was to keep all the major stakeholders happy, whether that be the TVs, the fans, the clubs. He even mentioned coaches. He said players. And it would have been a damn tough job. Oh, I tell you what, Mick, I'd rather be a senior coach than the CEO of an AFL.
I'd like it for a month, and if I was able to get my way for that month, I'd have a real crack at it. There's a few things there that I reckon. That, yeah. Look, we're all the same. Yeah, we all think we can do things better. But no, look, after the 31st day, I reckon you'd be ducking and weaving. So it's one of those jobs that it can be very thankless.
Hey, Mick, footy question before we let you go. Surely we're not going to have wing defence, wing attack, goalkeeper, goal scorer, and zones on a football field. Tell me the game's not going that way.
Well, you know what they're like. Mick. They love to make that. Well, I certainly hope not, but you just know where there's smoke, there's fire, and they just got to meddle with the game. You know that. That's a fact of life. There's no such thing as a rules committee without meddling.
Oh, Mick. Didn't want to hear that.
Hey, Mick.
No, I know.
Tough to play Geelong at any time. Tougher after they've had a 110-point loss. Carlton play Geelong Friday night. It'll be on relay with us here. Good luck, mate, and all the best. And we'll speak to you next Tuesday.
Really appreciate it, lads. And I can't wait to talk to you next week when we have hopefully have a victory and we can talk about our 150th year coming up.
Brilliant. Good luck. Good work. Michael Monkhouse there. Thanks.